Okay, we're starting here by the top of Vayin Vav Amud Aleph by the two dots. Ganav Vigdish Vakachach Tavach Umachar. So Amrei Bishlama Atvicha Lo Mechayev. I understand the fact that if he was Gunev and then he was Magdishit and does a Tvicha, that Tvicha he's not going to be Chayav. The Chikatavach, the Hekdesh Katavach. Because when he shefts it, he's shefting something that belongs to Hekdesh already. Falav Demari Katavach, and he's not shefting the item that he stole from that individual. So on that point, I understand. Ela hektesh lechayev, but for hektesh it should be chayav for a different reason. Mali machro lehejot, mali machro leshamayim. Why does it make a difference if he sells it to another party versus if he sells it to hektesh? Now obviously he doesn't sell it to hektesh, but he can donate things to hektesh. And just like by a hejot, a matana, you give a gift, you are chayav for tevicha and mechira, you're chayav to mechira in that case, then so too by hektesh. Gemara wants to understand here, when you are Magdish the animal, we understand why you're not Chayab for Tabicha, because it's in the hands of Hekdesh, it's not in the hands of the original owner from which the Ganav took it. And therefore it's not deemed to be Tabicha, but rather Tabicha of Hekdesh, which is Patur. But in the meantime, he also transferred ownership from himself, or from the Baalim, over to Hekdesh. In that case, he has a Shinoi Rishut, or a Mechira, that just took place. That Mechira should obligate him in the Arba V'chamisha, even though there's no Tvicha. My answer is Hamani, who's the author of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimoni, Damar Kodoshim, Shechayav Ba'achriyutan, Shudei Demarei Kaime. So Rabbi Shimon was at the end of the Mishnah, who says that when you have Kodoshim, that you are responsible to replace, meaning that, for instance, you take a neder, which, if the animal doesn't get to the Mizbeach, you have to keep replacing it to fulfill your obligation. In that case, it's still, quote-unquote, yours, because you are monetarily responsible for the animal. If that's the case, it's as if it never left your possession, but really, it went into the possession of Hekdesh, but not really. It's still in your possession, because you're still responsible for it. Well, it says it's a nice answer, but Hamid the Seifa, Rabbi Shimon, Havi, Reisha love Rabbi Shimon. The fact that the Seifa is authored by Rabbi Shimon makes it sound like the point that the Mishnah until that point is not Rabbi Shimon. The end of the Mishnah says Rabbi Shimon Omer. If Rabbi Shimon ends off our Mishnah where it says Rabbi Shimon Omer, that means that until that point he was not speaking in the Mishnah. If that's the case, he can't be the author of the Reisha of the Mishnah unless you do some fancy footwork and make it into Kula Rabbi Shimoni. So the Gemara doesn't want to do it that way or go in that direction. And therefore, the Gemara says, Elohacha ma'eskinan b'kodashim kolim. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's Kodashim Kalim, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who we've seen before, Damar, Kodashim Kalim Amon Balimho, Ubir Shute Kaimen. So that Kodashim Kalim still remain under the ownership of the individual. They don't really transfer into the hands of Hekdesh. And so therefore, you haven't transferred from the Ganav's possession into the possession of Hekdesh. It's still within the Ganav's possession because of the fact that it's still his responsibility. It's still called the Mamon Balim. It doesn't belong to Hekdesh. Now, what's interesting about this is that Rashi, over here in dealing with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, he says something similar within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, says that you're really threading a very fine line over here, which is that, on one hand, reviewing the animal is still belonging to the Baalim. So therefore, in terms of Mechira, it's not called a Mechira because it's still in the possession of the original owner. On the other hand, with regards to the Tvicha, if you shecht it, we are considering it to be in the ownership of Hekdesh. And if you shecht it, it's shechting Hekdesh. So the animal sits somewhere between the ownership of the Baalim and the ownership of Hekdesh, in the sense that the ownership of Hekdesh does not transfer it out of the ownership of the Baalim, because we consider it to be Mamon Baalim. On the other hand, it's enough belonging to Hekdesh that if you shecht it, it's called or considered to be shechting Hekdesh. Rashi proposes two ways to look at that. The first of which is the one that he accepts and says, Miu, Mirshut Mara Kamafkinu, Shem Hekdesh. Shem Hekdesh takes it away from the original owner, B'chi Katovach, Lava Demara Katovach. And everyone he shechts it, it's not considered to be shechting the original owner. So Hekdesh takes away the original owner's name, but it doesn't do enough to be classified as a Mechira. So it sits somewhere between the ownership of Hekdesh and the ownership of the Ganav, enough of an ownership of the Ganav, so that's not considered transfership of ownership. On the other hand, enough ownership of Hekdesh that if you shecht it, it's considered to be a part of Hekdesh. That's how Rashi explains it. Rashi brings a Lishna Achrina, which is that the reason you're Chayav by Tvicha is because Rabbi Yossi HaGlili believes that if you shecht the animal, it turns into possession of Hekdesh, and it becomes Mishulchan Kavua Kazaku. That means until the point of Shechita, it belongs to the Balim, and it's Mamon Balim. As soon as you shecht it, then it becomes Hekdesh Gamur, belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then anything you eat or you take from that is considered to be Mishulchan Kavua Kazaki. Rashi rejects that explanation and says, "Lo nihirali." Shechita is not enough to transfer the ownership into the possession of Hekdesh. Ela b'mekadesh b'chelko shechukul b'kodashim. And it's only when he uses the portion that he received from the division of the Kodashim, that is what's considered to be Mishulchan Kavua Kazachu. Te'abihatam shechita b'zvika v'akhtarat chalavim. That's only after you have a full shechita, a full zrika, and the fats went on the Mizbeach. Avishvat Zbicha, just the Shechita itself, that's not enough to transfer out of the Mamon Balim into the hands of Hekdesh. And so Rashi rejects that explanation and says that the explanation or the reason for the fact that you are Patur when you shecht it over here is because Hekdesh is enough pull or enough ownership here that's considered to be not the original owner's animal, but Hekdesh's animal. On the other hand, Hekdesh does not have enough ownership or enough control over here to say that it's transferred ownership, so that it is a mechira. Again, you are threading a needle, going on a very fine line here, standing between them. Tosafot adds on top of that, that not only is it good enough to be considered Hekdesh when you shecht it, but if, according to those that require Yeush, Vishinui Rishut, it will be deemed enough to be Shinui Rishut in order to have Yeush, Vishinui Rishut be koneh, so that the individual, the ganav, can be makdishit. So that's even a finer line that you're saying here. You're saying that it's good enough to be considered a transfer of ownership when the ganav is makdishit. So now that he has yeush and shini reshut, that he has the right and the ability to be makdishit. But not enough of a transfer of ownership to be considered a mechira, a full-fledged sale. And again, it's also enough of a transference to Hekdesh that if you shecht, then it's considered to be in the hands of Hekdesh. So again, you're really tiptoeing through the tulips here with trying to define exactly what it is. But you see here that it's not a sale, but it is a shinui reshut. It is not considered to be in the possession of Hekdesh. On the other hand, it is shechita of Hekdesh. Now the Gemara says, well, if that's true, aval kodshei kodashim mai, what is the din with regards to kodshei kodashim? Mishaleim tashlumi dal v'chamisha. Then you would have to pay 4 or 5 times, because it's only Kodshim Kalim, which are Mamon Balim, do we say that there's no Mechira over here. But had it been Kodshei Kodashim, we would consider it to be a Mechira, because then Hekdesh would take full possession of it. So it says that the Tani Reisha Ganav Etavach Vachar Kach Hekdesh, Mishalem Tashlum Eidal Behei, then rather than in the Reisha where it says he was Gonev, Toveach, and then Makdish after the Tvicha, there he pays 4 or 5 times, because the Hekdesh is after he's already done the Tvicha. Liflo Gelitna Bidida. Then you could have a finer distinction even within Kodashim themselves, which is v'medvei mamurim. When is that true? B'kodashim kalim. When there it's mamon balim, then there's no mechira. Avo b'kodashim kodashim, mishalem tashlumi arba b'chamisha. You should have stated it that way in the Mishnah. That would have been a much finer distinction to say that one tvicha makes you chayav dalet v'hei, which is the tvicha of kodashim kodashim. Because over there, even though you're not chayav for the tvicha, you're chayav for the mechira, because you transferred it into the ownership of Hekdesh fully. On the other hand, if it was that he stole it, and then he was Toveach Kodshim Kalim, after he made it into Kodshim Kalim, over there he would not be Chayav Dal Vehei, because there it's not considered to be a Mechira, even though the Tvicha is a Tvicha of Hekdesh. So that can't be the explanation of the Mishnah, or in essence, Rabbi Yosef Glili can't be the author of the Mishnah. Elo Olam Loshna Kodshei Kodashim, Veloshna Kodshim Kalim. Mark concludes, it makes no difference whether it's Kodshei Kodashim or Kodshim Kalim. So then, wait a minute. V'kashalach, mali micharo lehejot, mali micharo leshamayim. What about the question we started with here? What's the difference between selling it to hejot versus selling it to Hekdesh? And again, I put selling in quotes, because you don't sell it to Hekdesh, you give it, you gift it to Hekdesh, just like if you gift it to a hejot, you'll be chayav for mechira, so too by Hekdesh. My answer is, micharo lehejot, mi'ikara torah deruvein, mashta torah deshimon. When you either sell it or gift it to another party, originally it was Ruvain's shor, now it is Shimon's shor. There has been a change, not only in ownership, but in the name that is carried on the shor. Micharo l'shamayim, on the other hand, when you sell it l'shamayim, meaning you grant it, you makdish it l'shamayim, mikara torah d'Ruvain, v'hashta torah d'Ruvain. Before it was the shor of Ruvain, now it's the shor of Ruvain, as Rashi says over here,
עדיין שם המקדישו עליו שקרוי עלותו של פלוני. You call it the Ola of so-and-so. It's Reuven's Ola. It's Reuven's Chatat. It's Reuven's Shlamim. So since the name of the owner remains with it, that's not considered to be enough of a transfer of ownership. So even though there is a technical transfer of ownership in which the Hekdesh does take possession of it, it's not enough of a change in ownership that the Balim's name has been taken off the animal. And since the Balim's name has not been taken off the animal, that's not considered a mechira to be mechayev you dalid vehei. Josh, this is where your question comes up, which is there a difference here between Kodshim Izbeach and Kodshim Kalim? Tosafot claims that there is a difference, and he says, Va'adamar l'gana'kaman ganavi dish t'chayev dal vehei davi kemokhro lejo t'haynu b'kodshim berek abayit. When it comes to Kodshei Berek HaBayit, the Balim's name leaves it entirely. When you don't designate something to the Mikdash, they don't say, oh, that's Reuven's field. They say, no, that's the field of Hekdesh now. Because Reuven has no shaykhut, has no relationship with the field anymore. Simply granting it to Hekdesh. Now Hekdesh as an owner can sell it and monetize it. But then when you're talking about Kodshei Mizbeach, that is called, that's Mikre Hashem Balim. Because of the fact that your name is still associated because it's your korban. It's Reuven's korban, it's Reuven's olah, it's Reuven's chatat, Reuven's shlamim. And so because of that, there is this retention of the shem balim on it, and it's not considered to be a mechira. So Tosafot does distinguish or make a distinction between kodshei mizbeach, which do retain the shem balim, and over there it would not be deemed a mechira, versus kodshei berek habayit, where the shem balim is lost from the item. And that would be considered a mechira when you're makdish it the kodshei berek habayit. Reb Chaim, based on this, explains why the Rambam needs actually two piskei halacha in order to tell us that you are patur. He tells us, first of all, in Hilchot Gneiva, with regards to a gonev, nichse hekdesh does not pay kefel, only karen, because of re'eu velo hekdesh. But then he brings a totally separate psak that if one steals Kodoshim, whether they're Kodshei Kodoshim or Kodshei Kalim, that you also don't pay Kefil and Dalet Vehei because of Gonev Mibet Eish, Velo Mibet Hakdesh. The reason that he needs two psukim is because the reason that you're potur by Kodshei Berek HaBayit is because you have no relationship to that Kodshei Berek HaBayit. They wholly and solely belong to Hakdesh, and therefore they're excluded from Re'ehu Velo Hakdesh. On the other hand, by Kodshei Mizbeach, where we see here you do have a relationship with the korban, you need a separate pasuk to teach you that the theft of a korban is not subject to the regular dinim of kefil and dalet vehei, because you do have some ownership over here. It's not enough to say re'ehu velo hekdesh. You need v'gonevi beit ha'ish velo mi beit hekdesh. And for that reason, you need two psukim, one to teach you about kodshei berek habayit, and one to teach you about kodshei mizbeach, because kodshei mizbeach, like the Tosafot say over here, is different than Kodshei Berek HaBayit. On the other hand, Tosafot Arid argues here on the Tosafot and says, wait a minute, by Kodshei Berek HaBayit, there's also a Shem Balim is retained there, because we know the din is that if it's redeemed by anyone else besides the Balim, they redeem it at its fair value. If the Balim redeem it, they have to redeem it at its fair value plus a Chomesh. That means that the Shem of the Balim is still associated with the field because there's a different din for the Balim. The Balim have a din of Chomesh to be added on top, which is not applicable to anyone else. Now, obviously, the Tosafot here will disagree with the read and say that doesn't mean the Shem Balim is on it. It just means that if you were the former owner, then it has a different din. It doesn't mean that your name, quote-unquote, is still associated with the animal. We don't call it your field. We simply say that if you were the former owner, then you have to add on a fifth. Now, then, by Kodshei Mizbeach, your name literally is associated with the animal because, first of all, your name, when people talk about it, they talk about it as Reuven Zola, Reuven Shlamim. But in addition, when you bring the Korban properly, you have to makrit it, the Shem Balim. You have to bring it for a point or a kavanah of the Balim. So the Balim's name really is still associated with that Hekdesh. And that's enough to deem it as not being a Mechira and still being in the possession of the original owner, by which you will not be a Tvicha to be Mechayev Yudalid Vehei. That's the second Tosfot over there asking your question. Tosfot over here says, Kula hach sugya ki Rabbi Yochanan to lo ki Reish Lakish. This entire sugya is like Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish to mukil el, because yikdishu balim biyad ganav. So back on Sama Chedem and Bet, you have the machloket between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about how to explain how exactly the Hekdesh took place here. Was it that the balim were makdishit in the hands of the ganav, meaning that it was already in the possession of the ganav, but they were to be makdishit? Or is it like Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan says you do not have the ability to makdish it once it's in the hands of the ganav, because your chisaron of birshuto versus a chisaron of baluto. Each one of them has a chisaron. And so what Tosfot says is that this whole Gemara is following that shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that you stole something that's already hekdesh. Or you were makdish it after Yeush, and therefore the Yeush and the Shini Rishut together would generate the ability to make it into something that is hekdesh. And that's what we're dealing with over here. Not like Reish Lakish, who says that you can be makdish it in the hands of the ganav. All right, Rabbi Shimon Omer. So now the Gemara deals with the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Amrei, nehi the summer Rabbi Shimon, mali mecharo lehejot, mali mecharo leshamayim. I understand. Now, this is a misunderstanding of the Gemara of what Rabbi Shimon's opinion is. The misunderstanding stems from the fact that Rabbi Shimon is found at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, until then, has been talking about mechira, transference of ownership. So what it seems is that Rabbi Shimon is saying that when you have kodshim that you have achrayut for, then that is not considered to be a mechira. And that's what Rabbi Shimon says. Mali mecharo lehejot, mali mecharo leshamayim. He basically takes up the position that we were suggesting before. We said, well, the Reisha can't be Rabbi Shimon because he's in the Seifa. But now when we're talking about Rabbi Shimon himself, it seems like what's the difference if you sell it to a layperson or you sell it to Hekdesh? Then Ipcha mi boyle. Then Rabbi Shimon's position should have been just the opposite. Kodshim shechayav be'achriyutam patur. He should be patur when you're talking about Kodashim that he's still responsible for, because that tkate lo nofik mirshutei. It never left his possession. Kodshim she'enu chayav b'achriyutan. On the other hand, kodshim that left his possession because he's no longer responsible for them, meaning that they're fully within the realm of Hekdesh, chayav, then he should be chayav d'mafkilei mishutei, left his possession. So the Gemara's misunderstanding or assumption about Rabbi Shimon here is that the reasoning in Rabbi Shimon's opinion has to do with the fact that it is a mechira. Rabbi Shimon classifies it as a sale when it goes to Hekdesh. The Gemara says, if you say that, Rabbi Shimon's opinion should be just the opposite of what he has in the Mishnah. In a case where you are responsible to replace it, that should not be considered a sale, because it's still yours. On the other hand, where you are not responsible to replace it, then that should be considered a sale, because now it went into the possession of Hekdesh. But Rabbi Shimon says just the opposite in the Mishnah. Amrei, Rabbi Shimon amilta achrita koi. Rabbi Shimon is not referencing what we think in the Mishnah, the latter part of the Mishnah, it's talking about what is considered to be a mechira. This is what Rabbi Shimon's referencing, something earlier in the Mishnah. Someone who steals from a ganav does not pay four or five times. Someone who steals hekdesh from the house of the balim, patur. He is patur, my time up. You have to steal from the house of the individual and not mi bet hekdesh. So Rabbi Shimon now is coming to address that statement of the Mishnah. When you say gonev beit ish velo beit hekdesh, when is that true? So Rabbi Shimon omer kodoshim shechayav achriutan chayav. That's not true when it's kodoshim that he is responsible for. So when you steal from the individual's house and it really belongs to hekdesh, at that point in time, that's not called stealing, because you stole from hekdesh and not stolen from the ish, the beit ish. When you steal from Hekdesh, there's no din of Kefel, there's no din of Dalet of Hay. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon comes in and interjects and says that's not true. That's only true when it fully belongs to Hekdesh. On the other hand, where you have Kodoshim, where the Balim are responsible to replace the item, that is Kola Gorem the Mamon Kemamon Dami. That means that it has monetary worth to the Balim. It has monetary worth to the Balim. When you steal it, you're stealing money from the Balim. And in stealing money from the Balim, that's called Migonev Beit Aish. And therefore you are Chayav in that case for the Gneva, Kefel, and Arba B'Chamisha. V'she'enu Chayav B'Achriyutan, on the other hand, if he has no responsibility vis-a-vis Hekdesh, then Potur. The Lokarinim Be'Gonev Beit Aish. Then I'll agree with the Tanakam or the remainder of the Mishnah that it's not considered to be Gonev Beit Aish, but rather Migonev Beit Hekdesh. So what the Gemara now amends is understanding of what Rabbi Shimon is commenting on. He's not commenting on that last part of the Mishnah about Michira and trying to tell us that, oh, selling to Hekdesh is the same thing as selling to Hekdesh, because then his opinion would have been just the opposite of what we see there. But rather, what Rabbi Shimon is suggesting is a response to this idea that when you steal Hekdesh from the person's house, that's not really called stealing, because you're stealing Hekdesh, you're not stealing from the Beit Aish. Rabbi Shimon modifies that or qualifies that and says, well, it depends on what type of Hekdesh you're talking about. If you're talking about Hekdesh that he's responsible to replace, then it really is stealing from him, because that's Gorem Lamamon. Rabbi Shimon believes, kol agorim de mamon, ke mamon dami, and you're stealing mamon of balim. Steal mamon of balim, you're going to be chayav. In other words, it's called shim, that he's not responsible to replace, that's not mamon balim, and therefore, since he has no responsibility to replace it, it's not called mamon balim, and you're not chayav for the gneva or the arba b'chamisha there. The Gemara says, Bichte, Shminan le Rabbi Shimon, damar shchita, she'en ruya, lo shme shchita. We know that Rabbi Shimon believes that if you do a shchita that's inappropriate, then that shchita is not classified as a shchita, and then you fail in terms of tvicha, fail then, and you don't have to pay dalet ve chamisha. So kodoshim nami shchita she'ena reuyahi. This individual who stole the animal and then goes ahead and shechs it in the hands of Ekdesh, that's a shchita she'ena reuyah. If it's a shchita she'ena reuyah, why does he then chayav dalet behei? Because he took something that belonged to the owner. He brought it now to the Mikdash and shechs it. Yes, so now, according to Rabbi Shimon, it still belongs to the owner because of the fact that he is chayav ba'achriyutan. Now, if he's chayav ba'achriyutan, then the shchita is the shchita of the original owner. Well, shchita of the original owner, now you're chayav dalet behei. Mara says, okay, I understand that it still has the shame of the original owner on it, so that's not considered to be a mechira. But on the other hand, it still should be a tvicha of hekdesh. Because what's going to happen here is when you shecht it b'chutz, it's going to be considered to be a shchitat chutz, and that shchitat b'chutz is to make it into pasul b'kodeshim. That's a shchitat psula. Shchitat psula, you're not going to be chayav, dalet behei for. Alright, so now, Tosfot over here has, it's a very interesting comment that Tosfot goes through a large discussion about this, but comes to the conclusion that if he shechts it b'chutz, a shchitat, that you will be chayav for shchitat chutz. I mean that even according to Rabbi Shimon, it says that a shchita she'en ruya is not classified as a shchita, that's only for an exogenous halacha. That means that it's, if it has nothing to do with the item itself that you're trying to work with. If you do shchitat chutz, then it's considered to be shchitat chutz. That shchita is considered to be a shchita for shchitat chutz, and you'll be chayav for shchitat chutz. Now then, if you want to classify that shchitat chutz as a shchita for tvicha mechira, that it can't do. That will be an inappropriate shchita. So again here, they're bifurcating the din of shchita and says, if it's a shchita for the aveira or the iser that you're involved with, there it will be classified as a shchita. So as far as shchitat chutz is concerned, it will be a shchita for shchitat chutz because that's the aveira, that's the iser that you're involved in. And that, even according to Rabbi Shimon, we classify as a shchita to be mechayev you. Now, if you want to take that shchita and say, well, if it's a shchita for shchitat chutz, it should also be a shchita for Tvicha and Mechira, that Rabbi Shimon says you can't do. That is a pasul shchita legabe the tvicha. And so that what is why Tosafot bifurcates the din between that of the shchita tchutz and that of the tvicha and the mechira. Now the Gemara gives two answers to this problem. Kiata Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan b'shochet mimim b'mifnim l'shem balim. No, this guy stole it. Then he went ahead and took it to the Beit HaMikdash and shechs it on behalf of the balim. He's a nice ganav. Says, oh, I'll do him a favor, I'll take it up to the Mikdash, and I'll shecht it on his behalf. So Mar says, V'hari chazra keren the Balim. What does that help you for? If he does that, then the Balim got it back. And then they're not going to have to replace it. Their korban ended up on the Mizbeach, with their name on it, and now they're Yotze, whatever obligation they had. The whole reason we said that this was classified as a tvicha of the individual's property is because his name remained on it. And therefore, it wasn't in Hekdesh's property because he's chayav b'achriyutan. He's responsible to replace it. But over here, the ganav did it in such a manner that he's not going to have to replace it. It now went to Hekdesh and he's discharged his whole obligation. So what mamon is here that he's stealing or being toveach? It's gone now. Everything is good and dandy. So why would he be chayav? As far as the korban is concerned, he's not considered anymore to be in the hands of the original balim. It's now in the hands of Hekdesh. That should be good and good korban. And as in being a good korban, that means that the balim have no responsibility. But you don't have no responsibility. You didn't steal anything from them. You didn't take anything from them. There's no monetary obligation on the balim. What did you steal? What did you cause? There's no loss caused to the balim. Now, after the fact, now when you've already shefted it and then the meat is being distributed to the balim, then again, maybe now you have to look again and say, wait, are we dealing with Hekdesh? And therefore he's stealing from Hekdesh. Is that Mishulchan Kavua Kazochu? That might be a gift from Hekdesh to the balim. So now, when you steal then, you're really stealing from Hekdesh, not stealing from the Balim. And therefore, even though it really should belong to the Balim, where they should have the right of distribution of the meat, even if the Ganav does that, it may not be Gneva that he's Chayav for. So then, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Baravin, Shnishpach Adam. It's a case where it didn't make it all the way. The Shechita was a good Shechita, because they shechted it, and they were ready to put the Korban on the Mizbeach. But the Kohen tripped on the way and he spilled the dam. So now, what you have here is a shchita that's re'uya. As far as we're concerned, the shchita was done properly. It was done the shame ba'alim. So for Rabbi Shimon, that'll be considered the shchita re'uya. And that'll be mechayev the ganav. On the other hand, it didn't discharge the ba'alim's obligation because the Kohen tripped and the blood spilled on the way to Mizbeach. So now the ba'alim have to replace this korban. So it did cost the ba'alim money, but it is a shchita ha're'uya. So that is the solution of Rav Dimi in the name of Rav Yochanan, which is that the animal is shechted the shame ba'alim, but it never ends up on the Mizbeach. There was a mistake, he tripped, and therefore it didn't end up on the Mizbeach. Kiata Ravin, Amar Rav Yochanan, we have many times Rav Dimi and Ravin were traveling between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and they bring Memrot from Rav Yochanan, who's the major figure in Eretz Yisrael. So Ravin now brings the Memor in the name of Rav Yochanan in this manner. So they shechted it bifnim, but not for the balim themselves. Meaning that the ganav takes it and brings it to the mizbeach and shechs it for the kodesh properly practice. So then that's a shchita ruya. What did you say before? How could it be a shchita ruya? Because it's going back to the shem balim. Because once you shecht it for the name of the balim, it's a case where you shecht it shalom the shem balim. So then that solves your problem. You have a shchita ruya. Because we know that kodashim that are brought, shalom l'shem balim, are ksherim, just they're not ole l'shem balim. The balim don't discharge their obligation with it, even though the item is kasher. And so now you have kosher kodashim, so the shchita is the shchita re'uya. On the other hand, the balim have not discharged their obligation, that means that it's still mamon balim, and you're costing the balim money over here. And that's why you're chayav kefil and dalet behei in this instance. And as Tosfot points out, there's a deficit in each explanation. The deficit in the explanation here that you do it shalom l'shem balim means it doesn't work for all forms of kodashim. It only works for kodashim that can be brought shalom l'shma. That can be brought shalom l'shma. That means everything besides a chatat, a pesach. So those are korbanot that this answer wouldn't work for. It only worked for a ola or a shlamim or items where you change the shem balim and it doesn't affect the korban. So that's the deficit in this explanation. The deficit in the first explanation is that it's a dochak, he says, to explain that the blood spilled. Like what, the Kohen tripped? Like this is the only time in the history of the Mikdash that the Kohen trips and now the blood spilled, just in this one unique case where he stole it? It seems like a far-fetched explanation. So therefore, he rejects that understanding of Nishpach Adam, and he takes up the idea that it's Shalom L'Shem Balim. On the other hand, the one who says it's Nishpach Adam says Shalom L'Shem Balim doesn't solve your problem for all types of Kodashim. It only helps you out for a select group of kodashim where shalom lishma works. Tosfot here points out that it should be lo l'shem balim should be the same as shalom lishma. And why doesn't the Gemara mention shalom lishma? In the end, Tosfot says maybe that's what it means. Shalom l'shem balim is the same thing as shalom lishma, and therefore the Gemara doesn't bring that as a separate category. That's exactly what it's saying. It's done shalom lishma. All right. So now Veresh Lokish Amar. Veresh Lokish explains the case here. The shochet balei mumim b'chutz. It's a case where it's a bal mum. And you shechted bachutz. Now the truth is, as Tosfot points out over here, Resh Lakish lo kaya sugya didan. Resh Lakish has nothing to do with our sugya. Tilidei lo tzarech lemeimer, the Rabbi Shimon kaya milta achariti, ela lefid rarav, the muki matit in the el, kashik dishu balim biyad ganav. So muki lo bishochet balim mumim bachutz. So first of all, Resh Lakish has no shaychut to our sugya, because Resh Lakish, as Tosfot said before, our whole sugya is found in the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. That's not what Resh Lakish thinks happens over here. Resh Lakish thinks the case here is a case where the balim were makdishit when it was in the hands of the ganav. And so what Tosfot explains to us here is that they're not asking in Resh Lakish vis-a-vis our sugya over here, but rather, according to Resh Lakish, who says that Rabbi Shimon's case is a case where the balim were makdishit in the hands of the ganav, then he can say the case here is a case where the balim were makdishit biyad ganav, and then he was shochet the balmum bachutz. It's a case of a balmum, and a balmum that is shechted bachutz, because then in that case, it's not shchutei chutz, because a balmum is not ra'ui l'mizbeach, and you're only chayav for shchutei chutz when it's ra'ui l'mizbeach, or ra'ui l'fnim. Since it's a balmum, it's not ra'ui b'fnim. Now Rashi makes a point over here and says that that's only true when the mum came before the hekdesh. Since the mum came before the hekdesh, then it's not ra'ui l'mizbeach, there is no shchutei chutz, and the kodoshim here are omed l'p'diah, are standing to be redeemed, because that would be their natural state. If it starts out with the mum and you're makdishit, then the only thing you can do with this animal is redeem it, because that's the understanding or the underlying reason to be makdishit is for its value, because of the fact that it has a mum in it. Now then Rashi says, if you had first were makdishit and then it got a mum, that would not be the case over here. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi and says it can be even be a case where he first was makdish it, and then it got a mum in it. Even though an animal that was mukdash and then got a mum in it requires hamada v'haracha, it requires that you stand it up and assess its value. And obviously if you shechted it, there's no assessing its value because it's laying on the ground dead. So you can't have it stand up to assess its value. That's how Rashi proves the fact that it must be talking about a case where the mum preceded the akdesh, because in that case you do not need hamada v'racha. Rabbeinu Tam says, even though Rashi is right, but even in a case where the mum came after the akdesh, you can still have a hamada v'racha in the case of pirkus. Case where he shechted and the animal still shaking around, still alive, still standing up. So you can do that quick hamada v'racha in that momentary time that you have the pirkus after the shechita, so it is possible to do it. That's the Rabbeinu Tam's shita. Although the Balei Tosafot on the first Amud over here discussed this more extensively, and there they discuss what is a sugya in the Gemara in Chulin as to whether shechita is considered to be the final stage and the animal is dead, or is the animal only dead when it stops moving. That is a machloket in the Gemara in Chulin, and the Rishonim over there discuss whether it might be there's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. And since a Jew has a chiyuv of shechita, it might be that shechita makes the animal dead even if the animal is still moving, meaning that you could eat from the animal while it's still moving and that would not be considered Eiver Min HaChai. For a goy who has to eat an animal when it's dead and not when it's alive, even after shechita, if the animal's moving, that may be considered alive for the goy because shechita has no meaning for the goy. It's not something that has significance to the goy, and therefore for him, it's only dead when it stops moving. So Tosfot on the previous Amud discussed that distinction. And it says clearly, according to those that think that shechita is the end of the life of the animal, and you're dead at that point, and you can eat it, then obviously over here, the Rabbeinu Tam shechita won't work. Because then you can't have hamada v'racha but pirkos, because the animal's dead. Nobody says you can do hamada v'racha after the animal's dead. It'd only be according to those shechita that say, even for a Jew, when you shecht it, then it's still considered to be alive while it's mefarkes until it's dead, until it stops moving. In that case, you could fit the shechita Rabbeinu Tam into this Gemara. Now, Tohi ba Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud, was Tohe. Tohe here means, Rashi says, you mean you get a whiff of something, like when you smell the barrel of wine. And that he was trying to contemplate, understand, question this. It says, Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Shechita Materet? Shechita is the thing that makes the animal mutar? Alo Zrika Materet. Isn't Zrika Tadam the thing that makes the animal mutar? L'Reish Lakish. Shechita materet, halo p'tia materet. According to Reish Lakish, shechita doesn't do the job, it's p'tia, the redemption that does the job. So what Rabbi Elazar is questioning is that we said according to Rabbi Yochanan, you need a shechita haru'uya for Rabbi Shimon. So we solved that problem with coming up with scenarios in which there is a shechita haru'uya, whether it's shalo l'shem ba'alim, or we shechted it and then he spilled the dam. The problem with that explanation is that the animal only becomes ra'ui the mizbeach once the zrika the dam reaches the mizbeach. That means if you spill the dam before it reached the mizbeach, you do not have a kodshim that is ra'uya. If you do that retroactively, the shechita was also problematic. Because the shechita is only good if you end up with an animal that is kosher the mizbeach. And so therefore, without a zrika, the shechita retroactively is pasul. So what do you mean you have a shechita ra'uya here? And the same thing for Reish Lakish with regards to the shechita. Over there, the shechita is only a good shechita if in the end you redeem the animal. That's what changes it over to a shechita ruya. It's not simply that you shechted it, and now, okay, great, it's okay because you shechted an animal that has a mum in it. No, you have to shecht it and then redeem it. That's what gives it a heter, or that's what makes it work over here. So why are we so focused on the shechita, but the other aspects of this process are integral to the process? They're so integral to the process that without them, the shechita should be a shechita she'ena re'uya. According to Rashi, the question here is on both shitot of Rabbi Yochanan. Uporich the Ravin alibid Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi says that they're asking us bichlau on the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that there's a shechita, and wait a minute, you always need zrika afterwards. A shechita without zrika is not a shechita, and therefore you have a shechita she'ena re'uya. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot and many other Rishonim believe that this question is only on the case Shenishpach Adam. It's only a question on Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, that Nishpach Adam. In the case where the blood spilled, then retroactively, the Shechita was no good because the blood spilled. And if Zrika is integral to the Kashrut of Korban, then you don't have a Kosher Korban, and then the Shechita is not a Shechita Ha-Re'uya. So for them, the question is only on the Deya that says it's Nishpach Adam. Whereas for Rashi, it's on the entirety of this whole section on Rabbi Yochanan, whether it's Rabbi Dimi or Ravin, because they're both setting it up about cases of Shechita, ignoring the integral part of the Korban, which is the Zrikat Adam. As far as the Pediah, the redemption, is concerned, the Bali Tosafot over here explain, well, the parish of Puntras, the Ari Bal Momi Karo, came into the Sof Nifteh, Havia Shechita Ruya. So he says, I don't understand. So according to Rashi, what's the issue of the Pidyon over here? Rashi says in the end, it was a Bal Momi Karo. It's a Bal Momi Karo, then the only thing you could do with it is be Podet. And even after Shechita, you could be Podet. So you can retroactively make the Shechita, find Shechita, just redeem it. And forgetting about that, even if you don't redeem it, the Shechita is done. And since you have the ability to Podet it, everything should be fine. So he says, Ella, Mio, the Perish Rabbeinu Tam, the Mairi, the Hekdisho, Koda, and the Mumo. According to Rabbeinu Tam, who says the Hekdesh came before the Mum, even though at the time when it was shaking and moving around, you could have redeemed it. The Stam of the Milton, Ganav Enu Dalo, Shu Kudu Kodashim. The Ganav didn't know it was Kodashim until afterwards. And therefore, in that case, it's already stopped moving and he doesn't have the ability to redeem it anymore. So you have a window of time in which you can redeem it according to the Rabbeinu Tam. You miss that window, you can't redeem it. And that's what the question of the Gemara here. According to that, Rabbi Lazar's question makes sense. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you shechted it. You could have redeemed it, but you didn't redeem it. So if you didn't redeem it, the Shechita is not a Shechita Ruya, because you missed the window of redemption. And so therefore, I understand Rabbi Elazar's question in that case. According to Rashi, where the redemption can be done anytime afterwards, why does it matter if he redeemed or he didn't? Eventually, he'll redeem it, and then it'll be fine at later time. And then he goes on to say, maybe the Perisha Kunches Mil, the Perisha Navi Matzle Memer, the Stam Gneva Shechita V'chomaseh B'Seiter. The person who steals something and shechs it usually does it in quiet, in private. U'miyad achar shechita regilim lo'chla. And sometimes right after they shecht it, they eat it. The Ganav is not waiting around to find out or have someone catch him. So what does he do? He steals the animal, shechs it quickly, and eats it. Now you have a problem even according to Rashi, because you no longer can be podet. You can't redeem it anymore once it's eaten. So that's maybe the question of Rabbi Lazar over here. In the Stam case of Gneva, how is it that the Shechita is okay if you don't redeem it? Why aren't you going to redeem it? Because it's a Ganav here. The Ganav's going to run off with it. He's going to shecht to eat it, and then there's going to be no chance for Pidyon. If there's no such a chance for Pidyon, then the Shechita was never Shechita Ruya. And so therefore, that's how Tosfot tries to explain or give explanation for the question of Rabbi Lazar over here. Is the necessity for Ptiyah. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you only have a small window, and the Ganav doesn't know it's Kodashim, so he's going to miss the window. According to Rashi, the fact is that he does it so fast, he shechs and eats it so fast, that there wasn't any time. Now you can't redeem it. That means that the Shechita was a Shechita She'ena Ru'uya. So Gemara says, Ishtamitate Haid Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar forgot about the other Shechita of Rabbi Shimon. Kolomed Lizrok Kizaruk Dami. Anything that is Ra'uy is ready for Zrikat Adam. It's classified as if Zaruk, as if it was already Zaruk. The Kol Omed Lifdot Kipadoi Dami. And anything that is ready to be redeemed, it's as if it is redeemed. Kol Omed Lizrok Zaruk Dami. Now the Gemara is going to prove this, that this is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon in these cases. Now, as Tosfot points out over here, when we say that Kol Omed Lizrok Zaruk Dami, that's only in situations in which there's a mitzvah to do Zrika. If there is a mitzvah to do Zrika, and you get it to the point where Zrika can be done, that is deemed as if the Zrika was done. But if there's no mitzvah to do Zrika, we don't deem it as if a Zrika is done. So it has to be a situation or a scenario where it is a mitzvah or there's an obligation to do the Zrika Tadam. And that obligation to do the Zrika Tadam, once you make it ra'ui, it's as if it is done. So now the Gemara says, where do I know that from? Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh notar shu metamei tumat ochlim. There is notar, leftovers that of the Kodoshim that go past their time, which have a din of Tumat Ochlim. They're also leftovers that go past the time that do not have a din of Tumat Ochlim. As Rashi points out over here, Rabbi Shimon believes anything that's in Surei HaNa'ad doesn't gain the status of Tumat Ochlim. It has to have a shot to head. There has to be a point in time where it was mutar, either to Israel or to a Nachri, a point in time where Achila was allowed in this item. If it gained the status of Ochel, then it can have Tumat Ochlim, even if later on that is reversed somehow or becomes Pasul later on. And so therefore we're searching for a situation in which it became Mutar at least for a short period of time in order to gain that status of Tumat Ochlim. Ketzat, what is the scenario? Lan lifnei zrika, enu metamei Tumat Ochlim. If it stayed overnight before there was a Zrikat Adam, then it's not metamei Tumat Ochlim because it never came to a point where it was ra'uri la'achila. Since it was always asur b'achila and asur b'hana'ah, it never gains a status of food. Since it never gained a status of food, there is no din of tumat ochlim over here. We're talking about korbanot that can be eaten only for one day and one night, and therefore if you don't get the zrika in before the end of the day, you're going to have lina, you're going to have it be left overnight. By the morning, it's already no tar. Lachar zrika, if the zrika of the dam was already done, where it became ra'ui la'achila, then it's mitameh tumat ochlim. V'kayim alon. And on that we have a qualification. Ma'lifnei zrika, kodem shenir el zrika. What does it mean before zrikat adam was done? It doesn't mean literally before zrikat adam was done, but rather kodem shenir el zrika, before it was available for zrika. La'achar zrika, after the zrikat adam, doesn't mean literally after the zrikat adam, but rather achar shenir el zrika, after it was ra'ui to do zrikat adam. Kodem shenir el zrika, if it's before it became ra'ui to do zrikat adam, lan mayhi. What's the scenario there? How do you have lina overnight in a situation where it didn't become ra'ui l'zrika? Talav yashahut bayom lemizrkei. It was a case where there was no time left in the day to put it on the mizbeach. Tishachtei shlomach l'shkiyat hachama. He shechted it right before shkiyat hachama. Since he shechted it immediately before shkiyat hachama, there is no possibility of doing zrikat adam on that day. That means it's lo nira the zrikat adam. It didn't have a possibility of zrikat adam. Now if it's lan, if it stays overnight, and it's kodashim, that only for one day and one night, now it's no tar. By the time you get to the morning, it's already no tar. But it's no tar that never had a shat het there. Never had a shat het there, then it doesn't gain tumat ochlim, because it never was ro'ui la'achila. So therefore, einu mitameh tumat ochlim. L'achar shenir el zrika lan, in a situation where it was available for zrikat adam and then stayed overnight, that's in a scenario where there was enough time in the day remaining that you could have done the zrikat adam. Now again, as I mentioned before, Tosafot says it's only when there's an obligation to do zrikat adam, which means that you have to have captured the dam in the coast that you would do the zrikat adam with. So if you captured the dam in the coast, then it's ra'ui and there's a mitzvah to do zrikat adam. We consider it or deem it as if it's done. Now then, if you never captured the dam, it just spilled out of the animal onto the floor, that would not be considered a case where it's ra'ui l'zrika, because you didn't get it to a situation or a circumstance in which it would be mitzuvah to put the zrika on the dam, because you never captured the dam in a kos. So you have to at least catch the dam in a kos so that it's ra'ui l'zrika. If it's ra'ui l'zrika, then it's deemed as if done, even if you don't do the zrika. That means that it's mutar ba'achila, or it reached a point where it has a heter achila. A heter achila makes it into tamei tumat ochlim. Then if it becomes notar on top of that, then it's already gained the status of ochel, where it can have tamei tumat ochlim. And therefore, since there was time left in day to zrika, tamei tumat ochlim. Alma, from this you would conclude, kolomei lizrok kizaruk dam. And you see from this qualification of the statement of Rabbi Shimon and the Braita, that it's clear that Rabbi Shimon believes, kolomei lizrok kizaruk dam. Anything that is ra'ui for zrika is deemed as if it was already zaruk on the mizbeach. What we're going to do tomorrow is v'chol omed liftot kipadui dami. The other piece of Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which is feeding into Reish Lakish the shita about the shchita and the p'tia, that anything that is ra'ui to be nifdeh, to be redeemed, is classified as if redeemed. Since there was a window of opportunity to redeem it, and the animal stood to be redeemed, because that was the primary purpose of it now, whether according to Rashi, because it had mummy koro, according to Rabbeinu Tam, because kodshim that get a mum in them, that's their point, is to be redeemed. Therefore, a cholom made liftot kipadui dami. And that solves the problem. And tomorrow we'll bring the brayta that proves that Rabbi Shimon is of that opinion, that cholom made liftot kipadui dami. Okay, we're going to stop here on the last line of Ayin Vav Amud Bet.